today on Real Radio.
What God says in his word, God fulfills. God keeps his word. It is absolutely awesome. And we're living in a day and age where you can get all excited about that because it is so obvious what's going on.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Government God's Way, Part 2, continues a new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sins and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days. In Government God's Way Part 1, we learned in Isaiah chapter 2 of how God's form of government is very different from man's form of government. And when Jesus Christ physically returns in the second coming, he will establish his form of government and his form of vengeance upon the earth. And finally, we will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years under his form of justice. Now in Part 2, we'll look a little deeper into the physical ascension of Jesus when he returned to heaven, and his physical return to earth when he comes back to establish his kingdom. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that the most hated, most persecuted, and most conquered group of people on earth are the Jews. But God in his mercy is compassionate towards Israel and will not forget her. And the Lord has chosen Jerusalem as the place where he will sit on the throne of David when he returns. And now in his lesson called Government God's Way, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Church, turn in your Bibles where we left off in Isaiah chapter 2. And chapter 2, we're looking at part 2 of a message entitled Government God's Way. Government God's Way. None of us have a very healthy taste in our mouth regarding governments because it's been humanized. It's been perverted by the selfish ambitions of man. The Bible, as we looked in last time, won't go over it too much, but last time we saw that government itself has been invented by God. We have forgotten that, haven't we? Government has been invented by God. Government is good, the Bible says, when God-fearing people are in authority. Why? Because God-fearing people know that they're not the authority, that God's the authority. And there's no greater government in the world than the one that realizes God rules and reigns, as Benjamin Franklin said, in the affairs of men. But there's going to come a day when Jesus Christ returns, as the Bible says, and he will establish the government of God. And the Bible says, listen, everybody, this is cool. If you don't know this, listen up. This is awesome. Here we are in the 21st century, and specifically this year, we've been watching yet again the nation of Israel expand in so many ways. Population. I know a lot of people, 1 million-plus people recently have left California, but maybe they left California to move to Israel because Israel's expanding. Israel is having to build more homes all the time. People are moving to Israel. Did you know that? Moving to Israel every day. And it creates a tremendous blessing and problem at the same time. But in light of that, there's a new Silicon Valley. And it is there in Israel today. I don't know if you realize that or not, but it's actually nicknamed that, and it's explosion of technology. And all the big tech firms are there from around the world. The Israeli economy is booming. Israel may very well now be sitting on the largest, possibly rival the United States on natural gas. Israel right now has discovered and is already tapping into a vast oil reserve off the Mediterranean, and Israel is quite possibly on track to be a world superpower at some point in time. It is amazing what's happening. Why do I bring this up? Because God said in the Bible, I'm going to do these things, the things I've mentioned. In fact, it says, listen, the Bible says, I will cause the children of Israel to dip their toe in the oil of Asher, the region of the tribe of Asher in the Bible. And it's kind of cool because Israel is doing exploration regarding oil. What God says in his word, God fulfills. God keeps his word. It is absolutely awesome. And we're living in a day and age where you can get all excited about that because it is so obvious what's going on. Remember, we talked about the first coming. Jesus came, first coming, technically, which was on Palm Sunday. Some 2,000 years ago, he physically came to Jerusalem, Israel, and he will physically come again to Jerusalem, Israel, in the second coming. And so let's pick it up where we left off. Write this note down, if you would. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. Acts chapter 1, verse 9, regarding the second coming of Christ, is a physical, literal return. Now, don't raise your hand, but for some of you, you may have been brought up in a denomination that did not teach, does not believe in Bible prophecy. 27% of your Bible is Bible prophecy, but some denominations, for whatever reasons, they don't read prophetic books of the Bible. They don't read Isaiah, they don't read Ezekiel, they don't read the book of Revelation. Some of you have been brought up in church denominations that are what's called amillennial, meaning they do not believe in a physical reign of Christ upon the throne in Jerusalem. When you read that in the Bible, you've been told by your leaders that that's metaphorically speaking, that's spiritual talk. It's not literal. And that's interesting because the Bible says the exact opposite. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 9, look at it there with me, mark it if you would. It says, now when he, Jesus, had spoken these things while they watched, the disciples are gathered around him. By the way, again, it's the Mount of Olives. He was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. We assume they were angels. They could have been some heavenly, could have been Moses and Elijah in a manifestation like we saw in the Mount of Transfiguration. We don't know. It just says two men stood by them in white apparel, angelic or heavenly representatives, to say the least. Verse 11, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, I love that, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come again in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Physical ascension, physical return. So verse 3 says in Isaiah, follow along with me there, chapter 2, many people shall come and say, that is in that day, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We shall walk in his paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. What an awesome thing this is. Your Bible, I like this. Listen, this is going to get you riled up maybe. Your Bible says that finally, ultimately, there's a day coming when Christ returns and he establishes his kingdom, that the nations are going to be invited to come and worship the Lord, and men will say to one another, hey, come on, let's go to the house of the Lord. Let's go up to Jerusalem and worship. It's going to be common language. And you think about that for a moment. That shouldn't be too far-fetched for us to consider. There was a time, I pray it will return, where the world used to say, hey, you know what? Let's go to America. We can find freedom there. We can live how we want to live. We can make a business. We can provide for ourselves. We can be free. Let's go to America. And on an earthly, worldly sense, those words were spoken. And you think about the founding of this nation. And I don't know if you're from the East Coast. Have you ever been to New York in that area? But man, I got to tell you, it's awesome. Because there's people there from all over the world. And that's why you can't beat the food in New York City. I'm telling you, if you want Italian, you don't get Italian food from some Chinese guy. And you don't get Chinese food from some honky American dude. You want Chinese food in New York? You get it from a Chinese guy with a Chinese restaurant. And the fun thing is, I've ordered Italian food in New York City, and the Italians owning the restaurant didn't even speak English. They just had signs, pictures of the food, and you point, and you try to, it's the best. What happened? People came from all over the world, and they retained their cultures, but they all became Americans. And the Bible says of a day when there will be people from all over the world during the reign of Christ when he returns, and they're going to have this thing in common. They'll have their cultures, but they're going to say this one thing, hey, let's go worship the Lord. And people are going to go, all right. They'll be different, but they'll be united, understanding. Wow. There's liberty. And think of this. We're going to go. Can you imagine going to Jerusalem to hear Jesus speak about the Bible? He's going to teach us the path. He's going to teach the way. Jesus, can you imagine? Every Bible teacher will be way in the back, completely embarrassed and shamed at how horribly pathetic we were at trying to expound the Bible. Jesus, the Word of God, is going to tell the nations the Word of God. That is going to be an awesome moment. That's going to happen when Christ returns, and it will literally happen. He will establish his kingdom, which, if you think about it, really rubs the UN the wrong way. People get to build homes everywhere in every country, whatever they want, but not Israel. They get in trouble for building homes. And you think about how it is the Muslims' agenda to conquer Jerusalem and make it their own. Listen, there's no doubt about it. Israel's got a lot of tremendous challenges coming forward in the tribulation period. And the Bible says if Jesus would not intervene in the second coming, there would be no flesh alive remaining. But he'll save a remnant. And that's all during the Antichrist period, Mr. 666, and all of the horrific global government that's going to come. But listen, there are those who want to take Jerusalem. There are those who want to make Jerusalem an arguing point. Isn't it amazing? Here you are today, sitting here right now, or maybe you're watching right now, and you have your view, and you have maybe your place in life that you come from. But here's the cool thing. God's word says Jesus will return to Jerusalem, and he will reestablish his nation Israel. That's what the Bible says. It's always said that. And God didn't ask you and I for our opinion. He said, this is the way it's going to be. And I just want you to think of that for a moment. Step back and think. Could that be the reason why the world has persecuted the Jew more than any people group on the planet Earth ever? Could that be the reason why Israel has, a nation the size of New Jersey has fought for its existence from one Holocaust after another? Isn't it interesting? Could that be the reason why marauders and tribes and nations have blitzed through the land of Israel and tried to conquer it and did conquer it over and over again and try to erase it from off the earth, and here it is still back again? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that the United Nations, among all the nations of the world, there's one nation that stands far out from all of their nations on earth regarding the United Nations issuing of condemnation decrees against who? Israel. Isn't that funny? Think about that for a moment. Israel can't get a break. That's okay. The God of Israel defends Israel. But I just want to float this out to you tonight. Isn't it interesting that the most hated people group, the most persecuted people group, the most enslaved people group on earth ever have been the Jews, and yet here they are. Here they are. And that's exactly what God said. He said, I'm going to come back, and I'm coming back to Jerusalem. For out of Zion shall the law and the word go forth from the Lord, from Jerusalem. What an awesome thing. Verse 4, he shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Verse 5, of the house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. What an awesome statement that is. What a great declaration. In the second coming, there'll be no more war under the reign of Christ. Isaiah 49, 13 answers to that. Listen to this. Isaiah 49, 13 says, sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. So here's God speaking to the universe and the earth. Pay attention, be my witness, and break out in singing, O mountains. Why? How come? For the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. Verse 14, but Zion said, this is the people, the Lord has forsaken me and my Lord has forgotten me. Verse 15, Can a woman forget her nursing child? Now, the answer to that is normally no, okay? And not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. So the Lord is saying, I guess it's possible a mom could forget her nursing baby. It's highly unlikely. That sounds crazy. But yet, I will not forget you, he says. Verse 16, see, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me, God says regarding Zion. Israel, Zion, Jerusalem. Psalm 132, 13, the Bible says, for the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. Verse 17, Isaiah 132 says, there, that is Zion, I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. The word my anointed is Messiah, the Messiah Jesus, King Jesus. The word horn of David is the king that comes from David. Isn't this cool? Remember, Christmas is coming up. We're so close to Christmas. Jesus, born in Bethlehem, oh, listen, born as a child, but understood by the prophets that he's the king. He's the Lord of David. David was king, but this one's going to be the king of kings, the Bible says. And that shouldn't surprise you because you're going to get a Christmas card pretty soon, I would think, that's going to have this verse on it. Isaiah 9:7 says, of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Isaiah 9 is the famous Christmas greeting. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. Announcement. Awesome. Jeremiah, are you writing these verses down? I worked hard for you to write these verses down. Jeremiah 33:15 says, in those days and at that time. That answers to Isaiah 2, verse 2. In the latter days, in the last times, at the end of days. Here, Jeremiah 33:15 says, referring to the same epoch of time coming. In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch. Notice in your Bible, it's capital B, branch, a reference to his deity, a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. That's the millennium. Verse 16, in those days, Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will dwell safely. And this is the name by which she will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. How great is that going to be? How great is that? Now in verses 6 to 22, this section covers in detail. In fact, you might want to write this in your margins. It's kind of fun. Verses 6 to 22 parallel the book of Revelation chapters 6 in the sixth, what is called the sixth seal judgment. Bible scholars are here tonight. Those who study Bible prophecy, note this. Verses 6 to 22 cover this, the judgment of the sixth seal found in Revelation chapter 6. This is awesome. Listen, you guys, years ago, we were going through the book of Revelation here. I think it was the first book we commenced this sanctuary, this new church in. We started in the book of Revelation. And you might remember we said back then, and of course, it still holds true today, you'll never understand the book of Revelation unless you first read the Old Testament. The book of Revelation parallels all the other Old Testament books. If you're Jewish tonight and you don't want to read the New Testament, just be a little bit adventurous and try this. Read Genesis to Malachi, skip the entire New Testament, and get to the book of Revelation. You'll feel like you're reading an Old Testament book. You will recognize so many Old Testament images and pictures. And there's a great reason why. The book of Revelation after chapter 4 deals specifically with the nation of Israel and the Jewish people in the world. Never forget that. Never forget that. Very, very powerful. So watch this. Verse 6 begins right here. in chapter 2 of Isaiah, "For you, that is the Lord, have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they are pleased with the children of foreigners. Their land is also full of silver and gold, and there is no end to their treasures." Tremendous affluence in the pursuit of their pagan worship systems. "Their land is also full of horses, and there is no end to their chariots. Their land is also full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands," of their own labors, that is, of their own sweat, "that which their own fingers have made." Verse 9, "People bow down, each man humbles," or shames himself, actually. Therefore, "do not forgive them," the prophet cries out. So stop right there. Beginning at verse 6 now, there's this announcement. It's true during Isaiah's time. And because it's a prophetic announcement, it's going to be true regarding Israel in its day. Israel's going to become extremely affluent. It's going to forget God. It's going to adopt Eastern ways. And in its wealth and in its prosperity, it will come short regarding its worship of God. It will get involved in all kinds of pagan things. You might say, well, that's ridiculous. Might I remind you, we live in a country that has already done that very thing. Whenever you get rich, you have a tendency to forget about other people. Whenever you get rich and affluent, you have a tendency to think what is best for you and only you, and it doesn't matter about others. You create a world around you that is false, and you don't think right. You don't act right, and you get all messed up. And you think, well, man, I don't know if that's true or not. Well, look at the people who have all the money they can spend. They have more money than they can spend. How are they doing? Look at the people that have all the power or all of the influence or the wealth. Have you noticed how much trouble they give you? They're the ones that are working behind the scenes to trouble your life. I just heard a thing yesterday. Amazing. The very creator of the global warming guy, the guy that gave birth to the whole thing. It wasn't Al Gore. The guy was the creator of he was the founder and creator and the brain behind the Weather Channel. And he just made an announcement recently. And it was on the news yesterday. He said, I've been studying all this stuff. I've been looking at it. And 30 years ago, I thought this was happening. Turns out it's not. And all the data has proved me wrong. At least the guy's honest enough to say it. And he says, there is no global warming. The creator of global warming says, the data's not there. It didn't happen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Government God's Way, Part 2. Thanks for listening. And as Pastor Jack reminds us that when we pray and accept Christ as our Savior, we'll escape God's tribulation period on earth. Government God's Way, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. If you haven't had a chance to watch Pastor Jack's Facebook Live event called Happening Now, there's a new one happening on March 13th at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. Now, the Happening Now Facebook series brings God's prophetic word into perspective for us in light of events that are currently happening in our world. Pastor Jack's going to be joined by one of my favorites, Don Stewart, a brilliant scholar with multiple degrees who has written several books on biblical prophecy and what's going to happen in the last days. There's also going to be a Q&A time if you want to join us for that, and you don't even have to be a member on Facebook to watch this special live event. Again, it's called Happening Now, and it's live on Facebook March 13th at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. And if you missed any previous sessions, by the way, the latest ones are available at our website. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.